Amen. All day I've been off and on. That old hymn's been trying to arise from my memory. It says, in times like these, we need a Savior. And it goes on to say, in times like these, we need an anchor. Be very sure. Be very sure. Your anchor is on the solid rock. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I appreciate the dedication of the people of this church. Praise God. We've got some committed folk here at this church. Sunday evening service is proof of that. Amen. A time when lots of other folks are doing lots of other things on Sunday night other than go to church, it's refreshing to see people who come to worship the Lord. And I'm sure it catches God's attention too. I'm certain of that. Amen. I appreciate your faithfulness, church. And I believe if God rewards and honors anything, it's faithfulness. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. A lot of folks are worried about faith to move mountains. I'm more concerned about faithfulness that God notes. Amen. And in that faithfulness, we'll find the faith that we need to serve the Lord. Amen. You could just remain seated tonight. I appreciate our custom, but I'm just going to read two verses, and I'm going to talk as I read them tonight. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 9 says, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Listen. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church. Might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. This verse says two things. First of all, it says God has chosen to show himself. God has chosen to work. God has chosen to reveal his mystery of Jesus Christ. God has chosen to show his wisdom in and through and by the church. And the second thing this says, these principalities and powers in heavenly places, those are things like angels. And when the angels look down and see what God did with messed up humanity and making a church out of messed up humanity by his grace, the angels look down and say, wow, look what God has done with those people in and through his church. In other words, it astounds even angels what God has done in making this church and in using this church. The church is the manifold wisdom of God. The church is the revelation of how God so wonderfully moves. I'm glad to be a part of the church tonight, aren't you? I want to preach tonight, the church is the best thing going. The church is the best thing going. Every time you turn around, our government is forming a new agency to deal with the new problem. There's a new czar, a new bureaucracy, a new program, a new department, and the problems are getting worse and worse. I'm telling you, the church is the best thing going. Can you say amen? Several years ago, we had had a church member that had come to us. God had saved her and moved, and she had come to us, and she had been a member for several years, and I began to notice that she hadn't been in attendance for several weeks and tried to get a hold of her. And finally, I got a hold of her on the phone, and I'd never heard this before. I said, I'm really concerned. I haven't seen you at church. Is everything okay? And is everything all right? And she said, oh, everything's fine. I just decided to take a sabbatical from church. You know, sabbatical is supposed to be a short respite or rest. But this has been a long sabbatical. Never heard that before. A sabbatical from church. Like it's something you need a rest from. You need a break from. I need a break from church. I'm going to take a sabbatical. I got to thinking about that through the years, and I'm not making this personal about that person. I just have thought about that statement, a sabbatical from church. And you know, that statement assumes you can be a good Christian without the church. That's what it assumes. Now, I understand there are people in situations where they cannot be a part of a regular gathering of believers. There are folks that are sick. There are folks that have extenuating circumstances. But today, I'm going to take a sabbatical from the church, just frankly says, I don't need the church to be a good Christian. Now, you see, you have to be careful with that kind of attitude, I need the church, because when you say I don't need the church, you're not saying I don't need the four walls and the gabled ceiling and the pews and the when you say I don't need the church, you're really saying I don't need God's people, because God's people are the church. Amen? I mean, and I think, and I'm not trying to be facetious or smart aleck, but, you know, sometimes I just think, you know, when someone says I don't need the church, either by the vote of their attendance or by the statement I need a sabbatical, when they say I don't need the church, I'm thinking to myself, well, what kind of super Christian are you anyway? I mean, what you're saying is the rest of us little old weaklings, we need church, but, you know, you're a super Christian. You don't need it. I don't know how you feel, but I need the church. I needed the services today. I needed the fellowship of God's people today. I needed the presence of God that I felt in the house. Amen? I needed that. And you see, I believe that Scripture teaches us beyond the family, the church is the best thing going. And I have to say beyond the family, because the family, marriage and family and children, is God's initial institutions to men. So I have to say beyond the family, the church is the best thing going. But I also follow that quickly and say the church is the best help there is for a family. And I'll go one step further and say the church is family. So I think I can say without equivocation that the church is the best thing going. So many today, insiders and outsiders, speak disparagingly of the church. It's the fodder of television comedians and pundits and the man on the street that's sour and bitter. Even they want to speak disparagingly of the church and run it down. I don't know how you feel, but I get upset when somebody speaks against our church. Now, I can't preach everything I've been preaching this month, membership and how the church is universal, but it's expressed locally. It's the church of Jesus Christ. But Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, the church at Laodicea. Amen. It's expressed locally. And so when I talk of folks speaking against our church, I'm talking about folks speaking against the church of Jesus Christ. Does it upset anybody when someone speaks against the church? I mean, there's a lot of people that's got a lot of sour, bitter things to say against the church. And that upsets me. But, you know, as upset as I may get about that, I wonder sometimes when someone's just really down the church, running down the church, I wonder how Christ feels when someone's speaking against the church. After all, the church was God's idea. You know, sometimes folks act like men came up with the idea that it's God's idea. And beyond that, Jesus, the Bible said, purchased the church with his own blood. God must feel very strongly about the church. I think that he does. Amen. The apostles thought a lot of the church. But the folks that speak so harshly against the church, amen, they just need to realize what a wonderful thing the church is. I want to say it again because it's the message tonight. The church is the best thing going. It's the best thing going for the world. You think the world is bad? Think what it's going to be like when the church is removed. Because of everything the world says against the church, they need to realize it's the church that is keeping in check the wickedness and the corruption and the evil and the demon and the powers of Satan. The church is the salt of this earth. And as bad as things are, you take the church out of this world and it's totally going to collapse and evil will be rampant. And one day the church is going to be taken out of this world and the world's going to see that the church that spake ill of what's the best thing going for this world. It's better than government. It's better than entertainment. It's better than Hollywood. The church is the best thing going, not only for the world. It's the best thing going for the family. I'm telling you, there's nothing more family friendly than the church. Nothing supports families like the church. Nothing supports dad and mom and single parents and children and all the things that families go through. Nothing supports the family more than the church. Hallelujah. Why? Because when you get together, amen, your family's supported because you're surrounded by the host of the rest of your family. The church is not only the best thing going for the world and for the family, the church is the best thing going for every member, every attendee. Amen. The best thing going in your life is the church. Oh, above everything else, it's going to help us get to heaven. Glory to God. Amen. The church may not fix your retirement problems. The church may not be able to fix your automobile. Amen. The church may not be able, amen, to give you the surgery you need. But in the church, there is faith. There is hope. There is strength. There is encouragement. There is support. And there is that in the church which will help us make it to heaven. Hallelujah. How many believes the church is the best thing going? I believe that. I believe the church is for every generation. Every generation. That's why I believe it ought to be made up of every generation. Sister Norvell, I think the church is God's plan for every believer. I believe the church is God's plan. Hallelujah. God designed the church. Here's my message tonight. God designed the church for certain purposes that cannot adequately be met any other way. The church was designed by God to meet needs in our life and to fulfill a purpose that cannot be met and fulfilled any other way. It's a church. Let me tell you why the church is the best thing going. The church is the best thing going for growing. For growing. I believe the church is like a greenhouse. Those cold winter months we had, snow on the ground. I guarantee you, those greenhouses, they already had the seeds in the dirt, in the soil, and they were beginning to grow in the greenhouses. You see, the greenhouse, there's an atmosphere of growth. There's a consistency, a system of watering. There's nutrients put in the soil. Everything about a greenhouse is conducive for growth. There's even pollination in a greenhouse. I believe the church is the best thing going for growing. Amen. You know, the way I believe, yes, Jesus lifts us out of the pit. He sets our feet on a solid rock. We're born again. We're saved. But he wants us to grow in Jesus Christ. He wants us to grow in faith. He wants us to grow in holiness and in the image of Christ. I believe the church is the best thing going for growing in God. Amen. You cannot really be a Christian, amen, without the church. Some folks said, well, I think I can be a good Christian without the church. And yes, if there's extenuating circumstances, you're put in a prison, you have incapacitating disease and sicknesses, yes, but the general rule is you cannot be a Christian without the church. It's like trying to be a husband without a wife and trying to be a wife without a husband. I mean, there's no marriage unless there's the two, and that's the way it is with the church. Being a good Christian, it's something we're in together. There's a community and fellowship. And it's within that church that there is that atmosphere that is conducive for our growth. When you and I commit ourselves wholly to the church, we put ourselves in the very best possible position for God to work in our lives. I believe that. Brother Brian, when we root ourselves in the church, we have put ourselves in the place where God can best work in our lives and bring about growth in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. How successful is one corn stalk in a field of weeds? How successful is one bee trying to start a hive solo? Amen. How successful is one soldier against the rank and file of the numerous enemies? And it's the same with the Christian. Even by ourselves, we don't have much. But when we come together, we have in that coming together an atmosphere of growth. My involvement or lack of it in the church will verify or falsify my claims knowing Christ. It certainly will. Did you know even this world does not understand someone that professes to be a Christian who is not committed to church? Even the world can't understand that. They can't understand a neighbor that says, I'm a Christian, and they never see that neighbor going to church, ministering in the church, helping. They don't understand that. It's my involvement in the church or lack of it that verifies or falsifies my claims of knowing Christ. And so I just want to say it one more time. The church is the best thing going for growing. Hallelujah. How many wants to grow in Christ? Hallelujah. I want to tell you tonight, to be committed to the church is to be committed to growing in Jesus. Secondly, it's the best thing going for reaching the lost. The church is a lighthouse. I've already preached this a little bit, but the church is the very vehicle God has chosen to reach the lost and the unsaved of this world. He's not chosen the myriads of angels. He's chosen the church to reach the lost. Amen. I know there's always anomalies. I know of one. I had a great uncle, Aunt Mills' uncle. And he had been a Christian as a young man and backslid. But he'd still get worked up about things of God. And when I got older, we was down there in the hills of Arkansas, visited with him. And he hadn't got back with the Lord yet, but he got to crying and talk about how recently he had led 6 people to Christ and they were serving God. I don't understand that. That's one of those exceptions to the rule. That's God knowing what he was going to do. And that great uncle did get back in church and got things right. He was going on the memory of what he had as a young man and telling folks, and they got stirred up. But I'm telling you, that's an anomaly. God's vehicle for reaching the world is the church of Jesus Christ. It's the best thing going for the lost. Jesus said the church is to be a city set on a hill. How many knows the church reflects the light of Jesus Christ to this lost and dying world? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. But that light of who Jesus is reflected to the world through the church. The church is whom God has chosen. You know, I see the church in a medical analogy, but I think the church has a twofold role. Amen. I think the church is like the first responders, Brother Aaron, like the paramedics. When they see somebody in trouble, they're there out there where the troubled are, and they do whatever they can to stabilize that patient. But their goal isn't just to leave them there after they're stabilized. They put them in the ambulance and they want to get them to the hospital. And I believe the church is like the ambulance of first responders at your workplace, in the neighborhood, amongst your family. You're not even in the church building. You're not in the gathering of God's people, but you see the lostness and you're there with the word of God. You're there with the gospel, but you realize the role of the church is more than just saying something to them out in the world. You want to get them in the gathering of God's people where the gospel is shared, where Christians are praying, where songs are sung. Amen. Where the gospel is presented in song and sermon and testimony. And when you get them to the church, it's like getting them from the ambulance into the hospital. Amen. Where God can do his work. I'm telling you, the church is the best thing going for reaching the lost. You won't improve on God's vehicle. Amen. On God's tool, God's instrument. It's the church. Hallelujah. I believe the church is the way that God sees, or the world sees, God's love and sees God's mercy and sees God's grace. It's through the church that the world knows there's hope. It's through the church that the world knows there's a way of escape. It's through the church that the world knows that there is a healing. Amen. That there is a turnaround. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. The church is the best thing going for this world. I know the world speaks against the church, but if the world only knew the best thing going for the world. Hallelujah. Does Hollywood try to save people's souls? Does the business world try to save people's souls? Is the business world concerned about people's eternity? Does the education systems of this world try to save souls? Does the government try to save souls? There's only one institution that's trying to save souls, and that's the church. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. To be committed to the church is to be committed to reaching the lost. Amen. That's what we're about. How many's heard me say this over and over through the years? The moment we cease to reach out to the lost, we cease to be the church. That's why we have Sidewalk Sunday School. Amen. That's why we have Camp Dove. That's why we have door-to-door ministries. Amen. Because we're God's chosen vehicle to reach the lost. Hallelujah. Oh, it's an evil world out there, but when you get in your vehicle driving down the road tomorrow on the way to work in this old evil world, just look around. Failing businesses, immorality, trouble in the government, wars everywhere, earthquakes. But you just smile real big and say, I'm the best thing going for this whole world because I'm a part of the church. Hallelujah. Amen. Next of all, the church is the best thing going for helping people. It's a hope house. Amen. We used to have the ministry to the Hope House, those that were without jobs and homes. It was a place they could go and get help, get sustenance, get on their feet. Amen. But I want you to know the church is the best thing going for helping people. And the greatest help people need isn't necessarily in food and clothing and in jobs. It's that their lives are messed up. Their hearts are messed up. They need grace. They need mercy. And by committing ourselves to the church, we show that we are committed to helping our brothers and sisters. I've been hitting this scene because I've been feeling it on my heart. But you know, too many Christians feel like it's noble enough just to be committed to their own salvation. In other words, to say, I am determined to make it. But I believe being a true Christian, it goes beyond my saying of myself and to myself, I'm committed to make it to heaven. I believe a true believer has a commitment that goes beyond themselves, and they look around at their brothers and sister and they say, I'm committed to helping my brother and sister make it as well. Hallelujah. The only person that doesn't see a need to commit themselves to helping their brothers and sisters make it to heaven is somebody who feels like they can make it on their own by themselves. I want to tell you tonight, I need help. Amen. And the church is the best thing going for helping one another. Glory to God. How many was encouraged by the testimonies just a few moments ago? That's what the church does. Amen. We help one another. We help one another in making it to heaven. We help one another. We help new converts. We help in sanctification. If we would only realize that by being a part of the church, we become the means by which God helps our brothers and sisters and thereby helps us. I said, when we gather as God's people, God's grace flows through others, through our gathering together. I've often seen it like I'm reaching up to heaven and you're reaching up to heaven and God is pouring down his grace and mercy, but it didn't just go to my soul. My soul's connected to Brother Steve's and Brother Steve's to his wife and his wife to Brother Rose, and we're all connected together. And so as each of us is receiving grace from God, it's just pouring over to our brothers and sisters. I'm telling you, the church is the best thing going for helping one another, because it's in our gathering together that God's grace flows and binds us together. It's in the church we learn to love. We learn how to help. We learn how to receive the gifts of God. We see the opportunities to help. Amen. Others in the church, not only are we loving, we're being loved. Not only are we encouraging, we're being encouraged. Not only are we strengthening our brother, we're being strengthened. It's the best thing go for helping and being helped. It's in helping others in the church that we receive the most help for ourselves. Can you say amen? Praise the name of the Lord. So to be committed to the church is to be committed to helping my brother and my sister. Last of all, tonight it's the best thing going. The church is the best thing going for worshiping God. Church is His house. It's about Him. Oh, hallelujah. I mean, I appreciate the worship that we've had lately, just spontaneous worship. We're here to worship the Lord. I believe that every song, every word that's said ought to be to turn our attention vertical to God and to worship Him. Oh, this morning we begin to sing, Brother Brad, Thou art worthy, worshiping God. You see, the gathering of the saints is a conducive place to worship God. It's the best thing going for worship. Amen. There's a lot of distractions in life, and to this day, I find that many times when I really need to dig in and study, I tell my wife, I need to really dig in. I'm going to the library. I've got to study here. I've got to study at the house. But there's telephones. You know, there's distractions. And I like to go to the library because it's so conducive to study. Nobody's going to bother you. Amen. I tell you, the church is a place where you can just leave the world out there, leave your problems and troubles, and you can just come and worship the Lord. It's the best thing going for worship. Even some folks, well, I don't need to go to church to worship. I can worship anywhere. Sure you can. Sure you can. It's different. Amen. You can eat anywhere too. You can sit on your floor in the living room away from the table. You can sit on the floor and you can, with no plates or no utensils, you can just throw a piece of beef on the floor and you can just get with it. You can eat anywhere. You can sleep anywhere too. You can get a straight back chair and set it on the shoulder of I-70 and say, I can sleep here. Some folks can. You can worship anywhere. That's not the point. The point is, the church is the best thing going as far as worshiping God. Hallelujah. I love what I've told you before, but Brother Shelton said years ago, he's trying to witness to a man. They were in a car. Men hadn't been come to church. Brother Shelton was trying to get him to come to church. And finally that man said, listen, I want to tell you something. I can worship God anywhere. As they went down the road, the man pointed out of the window to an old tree stump. He said, see that tree stump over there? I don't have to go to church. I can worship God at that tree stump right there. Brother Shelton said, yeah, you can. But when's the last time you've been to that tree stump? Hallelujah. Oh, aren't you glad you can walk through the doors of a church and it's about worship? How many knows we're not about entertainment here? We're about worship of God. It's the best thing going for worship. God will manifest His presence within the gathering of His church in a way that one can never experience even in private devotion. I'm not downplaying private devotion. I think we need it. God has met me in some wonderful ways in my private devotion. But I'm telling you, God has chosen to meet with us as a gathering of people and will experience His presence as the church in ways we can never experience Him on our own. Amen. That's why He calls the temple. He fills the temple with His presence. Can you say amen? You can listen to a CD of the preaching later. You can send it to someone you'd like to get together with. Amen. You can listen to a CD later. And I even encourage you to listen to preaching on CD and radio, but still not the same as live. We have the streaming, and when someone's sick and away from church, I'm thankful they have that avenue. It's almost like being at church, but not quite. You know why? Because the preacher can't look you in the eye on the stream. That's why when people move around church, it gets me confused. I don't know where to point. I'm joking. I got my glasses off. I can't tell anyway. But when you listen stream, you don't notice that the brother or sister down the pew begins to weep in the presence of God. You don't see the sinner that gets up, walks. And I'm not downing those other things. I'm just saying the best thing going for worship is to gather with God's people. Hallelujah. Oh, it's just infectious. I see someone really beginning to worship. I want to worship too. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. To be committed to the church is to be committed to worshiping God. Hallelujah. Music, would you come? These things happen best when one is committed to the local church. That's why we're getting ready for church membership next Sunday night. Membership is all about commitment to the local expression of the church. Amen. As a member, one is committed to growing. As a member, one is committed to reaching the lost. As a member, one is committed to helping brothers and sisters. As a member, one is committed to worship. Amen. I have to ask myself the question. I know that Christ is committed to his church. But the question is, am I committed to his church? Oh, it's the best thing going. You know, and I begin to think about this. If I'm not committed to Christ's church, then I cheat myself out of growth. If I'm not committed to Christ's church, I cheat the lost. Because when we join together, we can make an effort of outreach we could never make on our own. If I'm not committed to the church, I cheat others, my brothers and sisters, of the help I could provide them. If I'm not committed to the church, I cheat God at the worship that he's worthy of. Oh, hallelujah. You say, I can worship alone. I've got to admit, some musical instruments, they can sound pretty good on their own, but it's still no comparison. Amen. You can take a trumpet, it sounds pretty good on its own, but that's no comparison that when you got trumpets and trombones and even tubas and all the other musical instruments, and they're all playing together in the harmony and the same song. Amen. There's nothing compared between the singular trumpet and all the other instruments together. Hallelujah. You may be able to worship on your own. Thank God, but it's nothing like when we all get together, every walk of life, every circumstance, every type of Christian, and together we lift up our hearts in worshiping God. There isn't anything like it. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I want you to know, as we face the things that we're facing, only the church is going to survive. Let me hear me tonight. Only the church is going to survive what's coming across this world. I want to be a part of the church. Only the church going back with Jesus when he comes. I want to be a part of the church. Are you glad to be born again into the family of God? Amen. I was talking to one of our sisters this afternoon. She didn't know I was going to preach on tonight, but she told me several times, she said, Pastor, I love this church. I don't know what I'd do and have done all these years without this church. I love this church. Hallelujah. My wife said, well, this church loves you. And that's the way it works. I realized someone was talking to me that knew that the church was the best thing going. Glory to God. Why would you disparage the church? It's the best thing going for your kids, for your life, for your family. Amen. You know, I just read a story this afternoon, and I love it when I read stories like this. But this young couple had been living in sin, living together. He had become an alcoholic. Their life was an awful mess. But they started going to church, and people were friendly with them, and people welcomed them. They went from some time. They just weren't quite getting it. And he was an alcoholic, as I said. And I mean, people knew they were living in sin. Things just weren't going good. But the people just kept loving him. And it came a day when that couple walked down to the altar and committed their lives to Jesus Christ. And they came to the pastor and they said, Pastor, we're going to get baptized. He said, okay, let's do it. We'll set a day. They said, Pastor, we want to get married. He said, great. They said, but we have no money, and we have no family, and we don't know anyone in this church. He said, that's okay. He said, let's put a date down. And they put a date for a Sunday morning. Hallelujah. Pastor said, you don't worry about this. The pastor found a time to address the congregation. He explained to them the need. Came that Sunday morning, and that man that had been an alcoholic walked in. And some new brothers of the church that hardly knew him walked in with him as his groomsmen. Some bridesmaid, and what do you call the maid? The maid of honor? They came down the aisle. Didn't really know her that well. She was new, but they were just good sisters of the church. No family. So it came time for her to walk in. And one of the elders of the church, elderly board member of the church, he said, I'm going to walk you down the aisle. And he walked the bride down the aisle. The pastor married him after it was all over. The church had prepared a reception for him. 150 folks showed up for that wedding, had that reception, wedding gifts waiting. I thought, oh, that's a picture of the church. Hallelujah. That's a picture. Isn't the church the best thing going? Glory to God. Would you stand across your building, across the building? Amen. Amen. I want you to do this with me. Would you lift your heart and hand and say, thank you, God, that you made me a part of your church? Would you do that? Just think, say, thank you, God, that you allow me to be a part of your church. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. To speak disparagingly of the church is to speak disparagingly of what God loves, what's God's plan and design. It's the best thing going. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you do something for me tonight? And if you have other needs, just please make them known. We'll make a dividing line just right in the middle here. Amen. But would you come and just stand for a few moments tonight? Men on this side and sisters on this side. I just want us to pray for one another together tonight before we leave. Could we do that tonight? Would you come? Men, come and stand as close as you can here. Just all stand and sisters over here. And then just lay hands on each other's shoulders. And let's just pray with one another. We're the church of Jesus Christ. We're the best thing going. Best thing going. Hallelujah. Amen. Would you pray with one another? Let's just gather in and pray with one another tonight. We need one another. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, come on. Let's just come and pray. God bless you for coming. Amen. Step on up into the wings so as many as can get in here. Just keep coming. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I'm so glad to be a part of the church. Amen. Would you do that? Amen. 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 Fill up the wings or whatever you need to do. There's a lot of sisters still coming. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.